Sharon is the Chief of Health Promotion and Disease Prevention for ASLO, the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials. Now, prior to her work at the national level, Sharon served for 2 years as the Commissioner of Health for the Vermont Department of Health. She served for two governors as the Deputy Commissioner of Health, and she was a driver behind the Vermont's health reform and blueprint of health. Excuse my slurring of those words. Sharon, would you come up and share your work?
Thank you. Well, it's great to be a part of this esteemed audience, and first a shout out to you all, because I know many of you in this audience have years of commitment to the topic that we're about today. And what I want to share with you actually are four key points. I really want to show you through the work and the leadership of Dr. Lakey and our state health officials, how you can actually move rapidly, change to really impact health outcomes in a very short period of time. There's an important lesson to be learned here for us all, no matter where we work. Secondly, I don't want us to forget the importance of it really achieving health equity. You're going to hear that as a theme throughout our work. Thirdly, what's probably very important, as you will see from this, is none of this is done in isolation. The power of the work that you're hearing about today really comes from partnerships, is evidenced by many of the things that have unfolded. And then lastly, I will be touching on our health website that actually will really call to you some places that we think are some rich in resources. So by way of a little bit of history, this begins to fold out and tell some of the story of the window of time that we're talking about in terms of this healthy babies improvement and all. And let me say, many of us in this room have a history that goes way back beyond this particular piece of work. I actually started as a nurse in the bottom of a church doing WIC outreach in families. So we all come from many, many different places that we add our knowledge to this work. But what David has articulated, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this slide or whatever, but really telling that story of how we really move change. And what was critical in early on was the state health officials really in Region 4 and 6, so that's the 13 states in the southern, if you will, belt of the country, really recognizing that they, like David, had a serious problem. And really bringing together not only the health officials, but their content experts, the maternal child health directors and AMCHIP being part of really trying to help understand what's going on here, why is it happening, and what can our states do about it. The health officials actually got together and wrote a letter to Secretary Sebelius and actually met with Administrator Wakefield, expressing their real serious concern about what was happening in what we referred to as Health and Human Services Region 4 and 6. Then, as David nicely kind of noted, is the opportunity that he stepped into as president and to really challenge the other health officials, and those aren't only the state health officials, but it's D.C. and also our territory. So the 59 members of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials to really roll up their sleeves. And then from that, some important work came in some ongoing work with HRSA. You're going to hear a lot more about the work that HRSA has done and contributed during this period of time, and in particular really bring together these regions 4 and 6. And I will say this was in response to, in particular, the letter to Secretary Sebelius and Administrator Wakefield of our real concern of what was going on in the region. You're going to hear throughout this presentation the importance of the partnership with March of Dimes. We had a very formal launch, but a long history. We won't even go into how long that history is. Maybe we'll let Scott speak to a little bit more of that history. And then with HRSA's meeting in this summer in D.C., launching the COIN, and again, you're going to hear some more pieces of that. So that's a little bit of the background. I give that to you because it's really important to understand how these things move and how quickly they can move when you get the right people with the right passion in the room ready to make change. So you've already seen this slide. These are critical partners and components of the partnership. We probably don't even have enough time today to list all the critical partners. But bringing that together in a strategic way, everyone was doing great work individually. It was really about bringing these forces together to really move that change rapidly and bring the level of national, state, and local attention together to move change in a very strategic approach. So the great news is David put out this challenge to his colleagues that we actually had 49 states formally take the pledge. That's not to say the other states aren't actually doing a lot of great work in this area, but perhaps for some political or other reasons they weren't able to sign on to the pledge. But every state health official committed to this pledge to reduce prematurity by 8% in 2014. So this is more than just saying we all care about infant mortality and prematurity, we're going to do good things going forward. This is about commitment to something that's measurable moving forward. That, I think, is key, and it really took, I would say, the partnership with March of Dimes to really get us to step up to the plate and really move that. And thank goodness for an epidemiologist like David who said, I want something measurable. So now, by way, I'm going to actually begin to show you how change moves from our perspective. So there was fantastic work going all over the country, but in particular, we were very interested in what was happening in Kentucky. The Maternal Child Health Director, Ruth Ann Shepherd, who many of you know, partnering with Dr. Hackard, our state health official there, really wanted to make a change. They actually started working with March of Dimes, really looking at what the brain development was occurring and really getting that message out. It started actually as a pilot. It began to move so quickly that they actually moved it to statewide to really actually get out to providers, to parents, to the public, to really the individuals about the importance of delivering later, as late as possible. So this was really, we were seeing some amazing things starting to happen there. David invited Dr. Hackard and Ruth Ann down to Texas, really the roots of that. So this is that knowledge transfer that happens, and sometimes we don't even know it's happening. It's right kind of under our nose, of that movement and that interest that's happening rapidly to embrace change and kind of say, whoa, why is Kentucky making those, bending the curve? What can we learn from them? So it was really through that early connection, I think, that was critical in understanding what those changes were and getting very close. And again, early partnership. So let me go back to this moment and just say, as the work in Kentucky was moving, as we were kind of capitalizing on that work, as David was moving into his presidency and really looking at what were the opportunities within Texas, but also within the whole of the region, bringing it forward to the 13 states, we really begin to see this movement and this passion for that we can make a difference. Now, what I think we're quite strategic about, and I think David in particular, was we knew that we couldn't do a whole portfolio of change in a very short period of time, that we really needed to be targeted in what the message is. So one of the things, and you've heard from David, is really the focus on the non-medically necessary inductions. And what I think you've heard from what happened in Texas was that they actually went and actually made it a mandate. They used Medicaid rulemaking to actually make that happen. What we found in the region, though, there was differences that still could get accomplished. Oklahoma actually took a little different approach, achieving and moving very much along the same way, but they did a voluntary hard stop. So they actually used a different mechanism than a mandated. We're actually kind of interested to see whether a voluntary will sustain the effort that you have when you have it mandatory. They actually, as you can see, they have 52 of 59 birthing hospitals enrolled. And already, and this is what I'm talking about, rapid change, they've seen a 70% reduction in the rate of induction And as you saw from David's work in Texas, already seeing change happen. So this is one data slide I really want to draw your attention to. This is Oklahoma's data. I think this what's really important here is that you begin to see where they really are making a difference. So if you will, follow me a moment. The green line that you see on the upper level, I guess all the colors are showing correctly here, is the rate of inductions that were happening over 39 weeks. So we're seeing an increase there. That's a good thing. We want the inductions to happen after 39 weeks. So that's a good up. The yellow line is the rate of inductions less than 39 weeks with a documentation for the induction. So that's critical of what's happening here, is that there's got to be a documentation if the induction is necessary. So you're beginning to see a decline there. And then in addition, the rate of inductions less than 39 weeks without documentation, we're also seeing decline, because this is really getting at, was the induction medically necessary? So again, great improvements happening just one state over. So suddenly you see Kentucky, you see Texas, you see Oklahoma. Now we're going to move throughout the region. These are, again, just some clips of some important work that's happening in the region. This is by no means all of the important work that's happening in the region and nationally. March of Dimes, many of you are probably familiar with the work that March of Dimes has supported in Louisiana over the years. In addition, Rebecca Gee has been a really critical partner, partnering with the governor and the governor's office, really focusing on Medicaid and the coverage of 7,000 premature births per year with an average cost of $33,000 per premature infant. Again, as David points, huge cost impact, one reason why Louisiana and the administration rolled up their sleeves on this. Again, use multiple partnerships. They're working with their Medicaid waiver to extend services to women beyond 1 year, actually going into the second year to support women. And then in one hospital alone, they've seen a 20% reduction in NICU admissions, or neonatal intensive care unit admissions. Significant change in a short period of time. I want to take you to another area, and that's an area outside the region, but looking at Maryland. And I really want to particularly focus on the work of Maryland for a moment, because we're very, very interested in what states are doing to address the health equity. As David really pointed out, we are not going to solve this problem unless we seriously look at what are the interventions that are necessary and the strategies to address the health disparities is related to infant mortality. Maryland's done some fascinating things. These are just a few examples. Let me give you one additional example that we've been very, very impressed with that Dr. Josh Sharfstein has shared. They were very, very concerned about sudden infant death, and I'll use that term right now, in the Baltimore area. And actually, they went out and developed a PSA specifically done by mothers of varying racial backgrounds and their stories about losing their babies. It is so powerful. But beyond doing a PSA, where did they show it? They showed it in the laundromat. They showed it in the motor vehicle waiting rooms or whatever. They really got out. Hearing that voice of mothers of racial backgrounds, really sharing that and their experience and their recommendations has really changed a lot of what they found. It was a co-sleeping issue, and it was a cultural issue, and it needed to be the voice of the mother speaking to other mothers. You know, so just one example, important work for us. So states to watch, I mean, I would say all of the states are states to watch, because they've all signed on to this pledge. They really do want to make a difference. We need to learn from every one of them. So lastly, in the last few minutes that I have, I want to touch on, and I think from many of the things I've said and what you're hearing today, is there really is a huge learning community around us. And that in part is what the COIN experience and what HRSA is supporting, and you'll hear more about it. One of the things that ASTO did is we realized what a huge library of learning we had was to create a website, a place that people could go where they could really find all these varied variations of strategies and approaches. And what we thought was critically important was that it be a gateway to many other resources. So AmChip has a significant compendium. March of Dimes has a toolkit. A lot of dynamite resources, but also drawing on what the states were learning from their experiences. So you can go in and actually find, for example, the Medicaid rules that Texas had did, and you can go in and actually, for your state, copy that. So essentially what our approach has been is to follow the recommendations, as David has pointed out. So you can go onto the site, and let me just kind of show you. This is an example. You can go onto asto.org at Healthy Babies. If you click on any one of these pictures, whether it be in the year of preconception, prenatal health, birth to 28 days, and the first year of life, what it will do is take you, and this is just an example of what would be on the prenatal, it actually takes you to the socio-ecological model and how we approach problem solving. So essentially, it's what are we going to do at the policy level, the community level, the organizational, that be at the hospital or faith level, what are we going to do in terms of linking up with health IT, healthcare provider resources, and most importantly, what are we going to do to support that individual, be that particular outreach, direct services and support. So you can go onto this site and really punch in and find various resources. It's a library, so it's a continually building library. And with all the wisdom in this room, I hope you'll actually help fill our library, and you'll find a way that you can actually share your wisdom, your experience, and all as we go forward. So again, I think in closing, these are very important kind of aspects. It's really kind of building on the national initiatives, engaging leadership at multiple levels, showing the cost impact, and assuring partnerships, and making sure that we don't forget the health equity component. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sarah.